Hi guys, I'm Jess.
And I'm Heidi.
And welcome to the very last episode of Betty Squared.
It's crazy.
I'm a little bit more emotional than I thought I was going to be.
Yeah.
Because, I get that. You know, when you reminded me a couple of episodes ago that we've been doing this for 6 years, I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to see Heidi every week. I mean, unless what we're working on potentially becomes a weekly thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, just like we're saying goodbye to Betty Squared, we are also saying goodbye to Riverdale. That is the name of chapter 137, Goodbye Riverdale. And I just want to start this by saying I don't have a lot of notes about this episode. I think just because it was so unique in the way that they did it, that I just sort of was along for the ride. But I will say that my first note is, oof, this is a hard episode to watch for a second time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I only watched it once. I didn't get a chance to watch it twice, so I can only imagine.
So when I first watched this episode, just to give some context to what has happened in my life the last maybe 2 months, as you know, I'm obviously originally from Australia, and I have lived in the States for almost a decade on a working visa. I just got hired to be an assistant company manager with a touring show, a national tour, and they had to have me change my visa to work with them. And then I flew to Barbados to change my visa, and the embassy lost my passport for 3 weeks. So things were kind of insane. And then I finally got back to the States, and I had 48 hours to pack up my entire life to then come back, or then to leave on tour.
Yeah.
So it was insanity. It was absolute insanity.
Yeah.
So when I was watching this episode for the first time, I was maybe 12 hours out of leaving my home, my sweet little dog, and he kept looking at me, and I was like, he knows I'm gonna leave him. And then I was watching this episode, and I was beyond emotional. I was so sad watching this episode, and then I was so sad with like all the trauma that I had gone through and leaving. And yeah, I was in a better frame of mind when I watched it for the second time, but it still pulled on all those heartstrings. This was a very emotional episode.
It was, and it would be, it like, everything else, you know, considered, or not considered, it would be an emotional episode regardless, because it's the end of the series, you know. It's also emotional because you can really see on all of the actors' faces, like, how emotional this is for them, too, even when they're in the scenes and whatnot. And I have, like, I'm curious of your thoughts on endings, like on series finales, like on the finales of an entire series. I think it's a really tough thing to do.
It is insane. We might have talked about it before, but hard.
It's so hard. And I think, unfortunately, more times than not, they're pretty bad. Like, they're not good, in my opinion. I don't know. Do you have that feeling too? Are you usually happy with a series finale? Or
so here's the thing. I tend to not watch series finales. So, for example, I still do not know how Breaking Bad ended. I still do not know how Supernatural ended. I have heard things, but I intentionally avoid any kind of spoilers, even if that means to my dying day, I do not know how the episode finishes. I am currently re-watching Supernatural, because what happened was I sort of lost a couple of episodes, and then I tried to come back and I was so confused about what was going on, and I was like, no, I need to go back to season one. I need to start all over again, and then I need to get myself to the finale.
Yeah,
I've gotten about 6 seasons in, and I've paused again because now I'm watching something else.
Yeah.
So I tend to avoid finales, and I'm trying to think.
It's really funny because that's the opposite of me.
Really?
Like, I will fall off of a show, and then I'll hear that it's ending, and I'll go, I gotta watch the ending. Like Vampire Diaries. Like, I watched a good few seasons of the Vampire Diaries. I eventually fell off, like, when they went to college or whatever, and then I came back and I watched the finale, even though I didn't know everything that was going on, because I was just like, I gotta know how it ends. Like, I that's the main difference between us, is that I love a good spoiler. I want to know how it ends.
I'm trying to think about the finales that I've watched. I actually don't think that there's that many of them. I have watched the finale of The Vampire Diaries. I thought that was great. I was happy that Nina Dobrev came back for the last episode. I think she owed the fans that. So I was happy about that. Wasn't happy about Stefan and Caroline. That was so dumb. And then Stefan dies because of freaking Catherine. Ugh, anyway.
Spoiler alerts just in general for series finales.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that a little bit right now, and we're going to not care about spoilers. So if you maybe skip a few minutes ahead.
Yeah,
you,
and then come back and rejoin us.
Don't want to talk about some series finales, because we'll talk about a few.
Watch Ted Lasso, as you know, because I was talking to you about it. That was a series I absolutely binged when I was in Barbados because I had nothing else to do. Didn't hate that finale. Wish he had stayed instead of going back, but didn't hate it. I can't think of any other shows where I've watched the finale. Yeah, tell me, because maybe some of the ones that you've seen have been like mine.
I'm trying to think of the good ones, like the ones where I'm like, yeah, that was really good. Oh man, I just had one.
I have one that I was like, that was shit.
Oh, what?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And
oh, really?
That show got me through high school. That show changed my life. But the finale.
You didn't like the ending?
Well, the problem was, as well, they had a lot of budgetary restrictions because the WB went under. And I believe it was UPN bought Buffy. And the second they bought it, the set started to go to shit. The graphics started to go to shit. Mm. And I remember at one point her running across buildings as they were falling apart. Because, like, they had some kind of I think the Hellmouth was caving in. So it was pulling all the buildings down and she was running. And I was like, this is the fakest shit I've ever seen. Now, granted, that show meant so much to me, I could overlook it. But
yeah,
I don't remember being very impressed by it.
Yeah, I don't have that nostalgic connection to Buffy because I didn't watch it when I was younger. I watched it when I was in college.
Right.
And I've only seen the ending once. I've watched the first few seasons a couple times. I haven't really watched the last season.
Once she goes to college, it goes downhill. Once Angel left, no.
Yeah, it has its moments, but you know. But yeah, I only watched that last season like once, and so I don't really remember too much about that one. But I had a good one and I can't remember, but it's easier to remember the bad ones, I think.
Yeah, tell
me
what
Dexter.
Dexter I watched.
I hated the ending.
I didn't mind it.
I hated the ending of Dexter. Obviously, the ending of Game of Thrones is pretty bad.
Oh, fuck. I was like, hurry up and finish. Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry.
She probably did if she was me, but anyway.
But now every other show. Friends is fine. Friends was an okay ending. Pretty good.
I don't think I've ever seen that. Did you ever watch the season finale of Seinfeld?
I never watched Seinfeld.
Yeah, you're probably a little bit younger for that. The show ends with them all getting arrested and going to jail, and that's just how the show ends.
That I have heard that. I did know that.
I don't remember, again, I was young when I watched Seinfeld. I don't remember being like, ew, I hate this. I was like, oh, that's funny. But again, I was a kid. Like, I used to watch that show with my parents.
Yeah, yeah. That was me with friends.
watched
that with family. Friends was okay. How I Met Your Mother was bad.
Never watched it.
Lost was interesting.
Yes, I saw Lost.
Lost was interesting.
Again, didn't hate it. Was just like,
I didn't hate it. It was like, so okay, so it was what we thought the whole time. That they're in purgatory or whatever. It's like, okay, that's fine. Yeah. Oh, Parks and Rec had a good ending. I liked the ending of Parks and Rec.
Didn't finish Parks and Rec. I stopped watching it when it started to go like high tech, when they started having like the drones and things like that.
Oh, when they because they went into the future. They went to 2017 and it was like not 2017 yet.
That's right. Stopped watching there, so I never saw how it ended.
Yeah. That's fine.
Did you watch Pretty Little Liars?
I did watch Pretty Little Liars. I did.
Did you see the finale for that? That was shit.
I did, but I don't remember it, so that makes sense that it was bad.
It was Spencer's evil British twin.
Oh, yes. Yes. It was Spencer's evil
like
British twin.
Who was like the mastermind over everything ever. No.
Yeah.
Fuck you. That was shit.
Yeah. Yeah, and her bad British accent.
It was so bad.
It was so bad.
I'm starting to remember all of the shows now. So I was like, what are you doing?
It's so bad. And then there's a lot of shows, too, where it's like, it wasn't written as a series finale. So it's like, you can't judge it in the same way, right? Like, a show's canceled. Like,
right.
Like, Anne with an E on Netflix wasn't necessarily a series finale, but the show was canceled after that, and the last episode of that season was really good, so it left off on a good mark. But like, or Pushing Daisies, they had to wrap it up super fast because
Pushing Daisies,
so good.
That was a great show.
Great show. So messed up how they did that show so dirty. I'd love for them to reboot that show. Can you imagine Lee Pace now? He's so attractive.
I don't understand why they canceled it. It was quite good, and it had a strong following.
Yeah, I don't know. It was really weird. It was really weird. I'm not sure. But yeah, so all that to be said, series finales are tough.
They are really tough.
But I'm going to say it right now. This is probably one of the best series finales I've seen.
Yeah, I didn't hate it either.
I really liked it.
I didn't know what to expect going in.
No.
And, you know, when Jughead's like, we're 67 years in the future, I was like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is, I never expected that we would see something like what we did. Mm-hmm. And what I kind of didn't realize the first time around, which is so silly in hindsight, was that all the experiences Betty had in this episode were her dream. She didn't actually experience them because, you know, she's not physically in Riverdale. It's this like magical journey. It was done well. It was done really well. You know, there's a couple little things that I've made notes about. But yeah, I give them credit. You know, I think you and I have been hate watching a little bit for a long time now as the show kind of jumped the shark. But this was a really nice send-off to everybody.
Yeah.
The first thing that I sort of have to talk about, don't get me wrong, I loved it. I loved that Betty was the focus of this episode.
Yeah.
Because,
so,
you know.
So validating for us.
Yes. Yes. You and I literally named our podcast after her. Like, we love her. And we identify with her. But what I thought was strange was that Riverdale, as we have discussed, is based on Archie comics. Archie has always been the lead.
Mm-hmm.
In the comics, in the show, blah 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 blah. So I am really blown away by their choice to have Betty as the center for this, as Betty to be the one that is the send-off. I have no idea why they did that rather than having Archie.
I think, so there's a few things there, right? On one end, I want to argue a little bit that, like, totally agree that it's based on Archie comics, but the Archie comics, there's a bigger world than that. There's kind of an Archie comic universe.
There is.
The spinoffs and things like that. And although the, like, focus, of course, is on Archie, it has always been the core four, most heavily on Archie and Betty. And, you know, it's Riverdale. It's not Archie. It's not Archie Comics. It's not Archie Riverdale. It is Riverdale. And I think, too, when it comes to, like, the core four, and maybe I'm biased because it's us and we have a podcast named after Betty and whatever, but yeah. I think when you look at the core four, the person who's most relatable, the person whose journey is one that everyone wants to see is Betty. And, like, I think, too, with their, how they handle things as characters, I also think she's just the most interesting to watch in relation to the others. She's the one who has, like, the deepest connections with everybody around her. Mm. Rather than Archie or even Jughead or Veronica. I just think she, like, connects with people in a different way that is more interesting to watch in a final episode like this. And Archie, especially with what, you know, he ended up doing in his life, we find out in the episode, it's just like, yeah, it's exactly what you expected for Archie, you know. Okay, it's good. He was content, like she said.
Yeah.
And I think it's just more emotional. It's just more, you know, it pulls at your heartstrings to watch Betty do it. Also because Lily can carry anything, you know. She can carry a series finale. And if it was anyone else, it might have been a failure, honestly.
I would have expected Archie or Jughead. And we kind of did get Jughead a little bit in this kind of meta world of him being the storyteller. Mm-hmm. But I was so pleasantly surprised it was Betty. I was just surprised because I would never in a million years have expected it. But if you think about it, now that we're talking about it, Betty really has been a huge focus of this season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her with her sexuality, her with her... her book, her investigations and stuff like that. We haven't really experienced that same level of development with Archie this mm-hmm. season.
Or any other character.
Anytime I think about Archie, I think of him with Reggie.
Mm-hmm.
So their storylines are basically two for the price of one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Betty has been going through her own experiences solely. Yeah,
totally.
Again, not upset about it, just...
No, I think it was great. I think it was a really smart choice.
For them. I agree. Yeah.
Really smart choice.
Completely agree.
Also, just a... In the... Maybe this is jumping ahead too much, so I apologize. But just my next note. The scene where it's Betty and Jug in her room for the first time again, when she's young again. In her, like, dream thing or whatever. And she's, like, going around, like, looking at everything. It just really looked like Cole had been crying. It just really looked like... I don't know. I just think it looked like he had been crying. I feel like that was, like, the last scene they filmed. I don't know why I have that feeling, but it's the feeling that I have that was one of the last scenes that they filmed. Because he really looked like he had been crying.
So let me offer my words of... Or my thoughts of wisdom here. If I had directed this episode, I would have shot it. It's not logistically it would have been a nightmare, but I would have shot this episode in order.
Yeah.
Which for anybody who doesn't know, when you're working in film, when you're working in TV, you don't actually shoot in the order of the script. You shoot all the same locations on the same day. You shoot all the scenes like that require like a similar costume on the same day. Like it's a logistic thing. It's a planning thing. But what I would have done to really get the emotions out of people is I would have shot this episode scene by scene following the script to really build up to those final moments.
My one argument there is that I don't think the last scene with all of them together in Pops, I don't think that should be shot last because... They would have all been very emotional, and that was a very happy scene. Like, it was, like, more joyous than it was, like, remorseful.
Yes,
that's the one thing. Otherwise, yes, I totally agree.
there is a happiness that comes out of sadness.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Relief.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a few tears of, like, excitement and happiness, I don't know. I think it would have added a different layer to it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Another reason why I think that that might have been the last scene, and I don't know, I have no idea, is because Lily posted, one of the last posts that she did that seemed to be, like, actively on set kind of situations, was a picture of her at the windowsill in that outfit, like her arms out, just her back, saying that line that Betty says when she does like the poem. I can't remember what she said, but I could look it up.
I can't remember either.
But, and so that's also what makes me believe it might be at least Lily's last scene, because it seemed like it was purposefully taken, like the picture was purposefully taken for something like that. But that's my inference. Regardless, just looked like Cole was a little emotional, and that made me a little emotional too.
Sweet baby. Oh. I thought she did a really good job as well, Lily, that is, of embodying an older woman in her younger self.
Yeah.
Because
she can relate to that too. Like, even though.
Totally.
You know.
Yeah, totally. Just from a different standpoint.
Yeah.
I did like the actress that they got to play older Betty, but I did have a slight issue that she didn't look old enough.
Mm.
I wish they had jumped a little bit more into the future, because like I feel like I needed to see somebody that was a little bit more bedridden, a little bit more frail.
Mm.
Nothing about that actress seemed like she was end of life.
Well, one thing is that it's probably pretty hard to get an elderly actor that is that far into their life that can do it, I would say.
I didn't believe that she was, like, she would have been 70-something. If they had jumped 67 years, right? 70?
If she was 80? If we're, I mean, I guess the jump is from senior year, right? So it's 17, 18. And then 67 years would be 80. 80, early 80s.
That actress is not 80.
No, probably not.
She didn't look old enough.
It didn't bother me. She was really cute. I think she looked a lot like Lily. Like, and I think she had, like, the vocal, like, she didn't sound obviously exactly like Lily, but her voice was very reminiscent. I think it worked because of that connection, but I understand what you mean, like, she didn't look old enough. I also thought her granddaughter looked a little too young. It's like, she's in her granddaughter's house? Like, what do you mean? She has a house? I don't have a house. So.
It might have been the Cooper residence, who knows?
Maybe.
Oh, no, it wasn't, because she was like,
she wasn't in Riverdale.
Oh, my
go back.
My room, yeah.
Yeah.
So, moving on then, my next note was more, this is probably one of my, like, come on, Riverdale, what are you doing notes. Why did they use a picture of Jughead as a teenager for his obituary? Did you see that? No, Betty's reading the newspaper, and she's like, well, I guess I'm the last one. And then at the end of that scene, after she says, oh, I want to go back, it pans to the newspaper, and it's Jughead as a teenager with his little, like, cap.
His I don't know. It's beanie. So silly.
It's yeah, so I was proud. Like, what? Anyway.
It's odd.
Yeah. What's your next note?
I thought it was cute that the granddaughter's name was Alice. That was sweet.
I did too. I thought that was very kind. Initially, I was like, she looks nothing like Betty. And then when they explained that Betty never married and she adopted her daughter and this is her daughter's daughter, I was like, well, of course she's not going to look anything like Betty if they're not biologically related.
I thought too that they made her a bit ambiguous looking, because it was like, who does Betty have a kid with? But then we find out that it's nobody.
Nobody.
Yeah. So thought that was funny. I also, my next note, talking about Alice's, talking about our Alice Cooper, when Betty runs down to the breakfast table and sees Polly and her, I thought it was funny that we find out that Alice becomes a pilot. She flies a plane.
Oh, girl.
That was funny.
Do you want to hear my note on that?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course Alice flew a plane. After all, she was working with the FBI to infiltrate the farm.
Yeah. Yep. She can do anything.
I was like, we didn't have to do this.
No.
We didn't have to have that in there. No. Also, I have friends who are flight attendants. There's no fucking way they could land a plane.
My brother's a pilot.
Oh, there you go.
My brother is literally a captain on a commercial airline. No, knowing the things that he went through to learn how to be a pilot, no, a flight attendant is not randomly just able to become a pilot. But I thought it was cute. Why not?
I didn't. I didn't at all. I hated it. I think that is the only thing in this episode that I was like, nah, that's not on.
Interesting, interesting. Well.
Oh, no, wait. There is one other. What? One other part that I hated. Actually a couple. They didn't even try to make Juniper and Dagwood look like real kids.
No, they were just bundles of blankets.
Or they were dolls.
But I didn't like see the doll, but maybe, yeah.
They didn't even try.
No. We got other things and to worry
she's
about.
She's still, like, this season has been about righting all the wrongs of the show. They still fucking named them
Juniper and Dagwood. Which I thought was so interesting, because her kids are still twins, and still, even though they're not with Jason,
right?
Still twins, still named Juniper and Dagwood, but none of the other kids talked about are similar kids to who, like, Fang, we don't see baby Anthony.
Nope.
No more to the baby Anthony counter. How sad for us.
R.I.P. baby Anthony.
Literally, he doesn't exist anymore.
Literally.
He literally doesn't exist. He's dead.
I just still can't believe that, like, after they learn everything that they had gone through, Tony and Fangs never had a conversation about the fact that they were together and they had a fucking kid.
No. And then Fangs dies.
And then Fangs dies. Oh my god, do you remember Kevin tried to steal that kid?
Yeah, Kevin tried to steal yeah, and Kevin didn't care either. He's like, a child, I don't care. Not my baby.
Oh my god. Wow.
So strange. So strange. Oh, we do have to talk about the other baby names, but we can do that later. But yeah. Juniper and Dagwood. Unfortunate for them.
Oh gosh. Question for you.
Mm-hmm.
When Jughead is talking about Mary, Mrs. Andrews,
mm-hmm.
and she says, oh, you know, one lady, this lady, Brooke, came in and was the customer and then moved in and then they lived happily ever after. Mm-hmm. Was that the same actress that was the woman that Mary ended up having a relationship with?
She was like the
officer from the military school.
Yes. She was. I think she was blonde as well, but I don't remember if it's the same woman.
Nah. I couldn't recognize her.
No. Couldn't like just been new.
It was too fleeting of a moment when it actually happened for me to retain what she looked like, but I was like, oh, that would have been a cute little thing to bring her back.
She might even not be, she's not from Riverdale. She might not even be in Riverdale when the comet hit and stuff. You know?
They weren't in Riverdale when the comet hit, I don't think. Maybe. Is Mary around?
I don't know.
I think it was just Frank.
I don't know.
I can't remember either. God, so much has happened in this show.
It has. My next note is, so I got a little teary a couple moments, you know, throughout the episode so far, and then the real moment where I got real tear, like, it was, like, brimming, almost gonna cry, was when Betty was in the blue and gold room next to the sign that said blue and gold, and I was like,
oh, newspaper. Really?
I don't know, it just hit me in the feels for some reason. I was like, oh yeah, Betty, in the blue and gold, and meh.
No, I just was teary generally throughout the whole thing. Not teary to the point of, like, actual crying, but very, very emotional.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. And then my next note is about Fangs dying in a bus crash. But his music lives on.
Yes. Yes, but I love the fact that he, like, released a hit, and so Midge is allowed to be with him now. Aren't musicians, like, the ones that you warn your daughters away from?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it didn't last.
Oh, Heidi.
I'm sorry.
Heidi, that was mean.
So her parents didn't have too much to worry about, you know?
Oh, God. Well, now she's a widow.
At, like, 18. Woof.
At, like, 18. Yeah, that's better really than rough. Being
dead at 16.
Stop! Jesus Christ, what's wrong with you?
You don't even like Midge.
Yeah, but, like, she's a mom now, so it's different.
Oh, and so was Polly from day one.
No, fuck Polly.
Exactly. I can't keep up with you.
I don't think I can keep up with me either. Oh, gosh. I just have, like... The last couple of things that I have are just all very small little observations and things like that. Like, there'd be no way that the windows in New York wouldn't have bars on them.
Yeah.
Like, for security. They're in Harlem, too. Harlem would have been a rough as fuck place. And I'm sorry, you're not getting a building where the windows on the top floor open. Calm your tits. Also, buildings were not that high. I think maximum is 6 stories. So, calm your tits. Anyway, that's it about that. I hate that Veronica was like, I called my dear friend Peter Roth, and I'm like, stop fucking saying his name. Just leave the poor man alone. Also, is Peter Roth a real person? And if yes, is that him in the episode?
The name's really... Yep, I'm going to Google. The name's really familiar, I assume.
He is. But, like,
you know the first thing that came up? Peter Roth eye patches.
What?
Like, makeup stuff. Let me see. Peter Roth, yeah, executive. Too. Peter Roth, born 1950, is an American television producer who served as the chairman and chief executive officer of Warner Bros. Television Studios starting in 1999. In 2020, it was announced that Roth would leave the studio in 2021. So he has since left. He was big. Well, he wasn't even big in the 50s. So, huh? Because he was born in the 50s.
Born in 1950.
I don't know, so, dude.
That's incorrect.
And that's not him, either, because I just saw a picture of him, and that's... I don't think that's him.
Okay. Anyway.
Anyway.
Just, like, stop fucking name-dropping. Like, just, oh, I spoke to a friend who's gonna give me a job. Awesome. No one fucking cares it's Peter Roth. Like, shut up. Anyway.
No one even knows who that is.
I wrote, similar to what you've already touched on, is that I think there was a lot of real tears in this episode. There were some moments where I really was like, oh my God, she's not going to make it through this scene.
Yeah.
Like, that's how raw the emotion definitely was. Betty must have been Betty. Lily must have been exhausted by the time that this episode wrapped.
Yeah, but, absolutely. Yeah. It was a big one for her.
The tumbleweed made me laugh.
The tumbleweed.
Do you know what I'm talking about? So when Jughead's, like, talking about, was it Jughead? No. Towards the end of the episode, Betty was like, oh, I'm saying goodbye to this. I'm saying goodbye to that. I'm going to say goodbye to this. And it shows the Babylonian.
Oh.
And tumbleweed just rolls past. I'm like, did everybody leave this town? is this a ghost town now? Why is it so dilapidated?
Yeah, it's like so... I thought they had improved Riverdale. And now, instead,
I guess
it's
not.
Like totally dilapidated.
When they all moved away.
Pops is closed down. Like, that's sad. That's fucking sad.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They ended up happy, so I guess that's what matters.
Exactly. And then the last, like, little throwaway comment I have is, oh, Jason!
Yeah. He still can't be a part of the party. He has to open the door, but... He's there.
It was nice. It was nice to see him. I was like, there he is. There he is.
Those are all your notes?
No, I have two others, but I wanted to see if you had sort of any like little comments or throwaway things.
I have notes.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get into your notes because I'm sure you're going to touch on one of the ones that I have.
Sure.
And then I have a really big error to point out with the show.
Oh, just one?
one that kind of matters to me.
Okay. I love that.
Yeah.
So, next I have, just talking about the times that I got emotional, for whatever reason, when Betty's... this episode was interesting too, right? Because it's not just, like, the last day of school. It's the last time Betty will ever see these people again. And she knows that. Like, she's aware of this now as well. At least in this way, that they'll all be together. So there's, like, but it's also the first time that she's seeing them in years, decades for some of them. So it's, like, there's so many layers to that that I found really interesting. And I think Lily did a really good job playing with that as well. But there was just something about when Betty said Kevin's name, when she saw Kevin for the first time. And ran over to him and hugged him before he asked her to go to lunch. That got me. That made me, like, actually, like, aww. Tear. I just thought that was lovely. They've always had a great relationship. They've been very sweet.
Except when he tried to harvest her organs.
Yeah, I mean, always is semantics, you know. Then the quad four. The core four is now the quad four.
You love to see it. That was one of my notes about the quad.
You didn't like it.
I wrote, I'm not sure how I feel about this.
I love it. It's the only way. It's absolutely the only way.
But it's 1955.
But it doesn't matter. It's Riverdale. It's also only, they only did it for 1 year. Like, it doesn't matter. And the, like, they did it for their senior year and that was it. And then they moved on and had, like, normal relationships the rest of the quote-unquote normal relationships for the rest of the time. It really doesn't matter. In terms of the show, I loved it because there was no end game. Like, we've always talked about, like, Jughead, like, Bughead art end game and or whatever thing you think it is. You know, we as in, like, a community of Riverdale watchers have always talked about that. And this was like a yes-anded us, and I loved that. I just thought that was fun.
Again, I didn't go into this episode knowing what to expect or having, like, preconceived notions of what I expected, and I didn't realize that until the episode started, and I was like, oh, I really have no idea where this is headed. Great, let's go. Mm-hmm. I think I'm disappointed that some of the quad didn't end up together. I really think I thought Betty and Archie were going to become a thing. I knew Veronica and Jughead weren't because we've talked about how they have no chemistry from, like, their awkward kiss in, like, the early seasons.
Yeah.
I really thought Betty and Archie would have probably ended up together. Because even when we did see Betty and Jughead, I was like, oh, God, that's jarring to look at because we haven't seen it for so long. But what I am miffed about is, sure, it's okay for Betty and Archie to be a thing and Betty and Jughead and Veronica and Jughead, Veronica and Archie, and then Betty and Veronica.
But yeah.
I'm sorry. Where's Archie and Jughead?
Yeah, that was interesting. So here's the thing with that. Like, on one hand, yeah, we can be like, I don't know, like, what the heck? But on the other hand, that was never in the show. Like, we have seen Betty and Veronica have feelings for each other that are more than friendship. We haven't ever seen that from Jughead and Archie.
No, it just felt like it was like, ooh, it's sexier to show two girls together instead of two boys. And I was like, ooh, no, that's not fair. But also, yeah, I understand from a story point of view, it made no fucking sense.
No, it didn't. And also, maybe if it was that they were doing a quad with Reggie, then that would have happened because there would have been some precedent to it. But they didn't do a quad with Reggie, which he was upset about. He wished he could have been in that.
Also, I love that Betty's like, yes, Veronica and I did discuss it, but we ultimately decided that you were better focused on basketball.
And like, I wrote down what he said. He was like, I would have made time, Goldilocks. Like,
yeah.
That's so cute.
Oh, God.
So sweet. But he became a pro basketball player and had two boys and coached basketball at Riverdale and had a good life. I like that.
Yeah, I do too.
The next note I have is just Veronica made movies. Okay. It was a little emotional when Betty said, she specifically said, she talks about she's buried in Hollywood, some big cemetery that I forgot the name of. The big Hollywood cemetery. I visited her, just heard the way that she said it. I visited her grave.
Once. She said I visited her grave once.
Well, I mean, I would hope that it was pretty recent where she died. You know what I mean? Probably didn't.
Yeah.
But she went to multiple, premieres and things like that Betty did, so they did stay relatively close, but still, the thing, too, that was sad this episode was all the regret. I wish we stayed closer. I wish we stayed closer.
But, I mean, isn't that life?
That's the way. Yeah, absolutely.
We all have regrets like that.
What did you think of the nod to Chick this episode, which was wild?
Oh, that came out of left field.
Yeah.
I hated that that's what happened to
Sheriff Keller.
Frank and Sheriff Keller. More so Sheriff Keller.
I was
waiting for something like, well, who would have thunk it that Sheriff Keller and Frank buckled down and were partners for the rest of their days. But that they were fucking murdered. I was like, shit, we could have done without that.
Yeah, it was really fucking morbid.
It was awful.
It was almost as awful as Cheryl and Tony naming their son Dale.
After Riverdale.
Oh my god. No. You're looking me in the eye and you are telling me Cheryl Blossom is naming her son Dale. That is the most out of character thing I've ever heard in my life.
The thing is, though, like, apart from Archie, no one has ever really said how much they love this town.
No.
So, it's not about Riverdale. Like, yeah. Riverdale is not the thing that makes them who they are. It's just the place that they live. Yeah. No one feels passionately about it. That's why they all leave.
I would argue, here's the thing, though. If anyone's going to name their kid Riverdale, it does make a certain amount of sense that it is Cheryl and Tony, because I would argue, actually, we saw from, present times, Cheryl, she didn't ever leave Riverdale, where Archie did. Yeah. Neither did Tony. I mean, she left but then came back. Tony, I would say, is more passionate about making Riverdale a good place to live than Archie. She's the one who stays.
Sure, but like,
she actively works to make it better.
Right, but not passionate enough to name her kid Dale after Riverdale.
Who is?
You should have named the kid River. River is a much cooler name.
Would have been too on the nose, I guess. You could get more frickin' on the nose.
Do you know, I went to a supermarket today And the girl that was checking me out, I kid you not, her name was Teriyaki.
No.
I know.
No.
Her parents called her Teriyaki. And then I turned to my boss and I said, I wonder if her last name is Chicken. And my boss yelled at me. He's like, Jess, that's so mean. And I'm like,
oh, but God. Who names
their kid Teriyaki?
Someone who's fucked up.
Really, I've really heard some weird names since moving to the States, but I've never in my life heard the name Teriyaki.
The States?
Oh, yeah, you guys have some weird ass names here. So, like, in Australia, it's like John.
Sheila?
Joe? Huh? What did you just say? Sheila. Sheila's not a name. Sheila is a way to refer to a woman.
I know. I'm kidding. It's a joke.
But, like, we've got, like, John and Joe. Not even Joe. It'd be John and James. We got real boring names. And I come here and it's, like, Shaniqua. And it's spelt with, like, six Y's and an S and a little accent above the E. And I'm like, what?
Well, welcome to culture.
No, I love it. I love it, but I don't think it's fair to name your kid Teriyaki.
No, I agree with that one. I definitely agree with that one. That's a rough one. That's rough.
God. Yeah.
Well, you want to know what really got me? What really made me cry? Like, actual tears down, multiple tears down the cheek.
Aw, what?
Full cry on this one. So Betty's talking to Archie and he's like, he's saying like, we're gonna end up together, like, kind of thing, and she's like,
oh
no,
I know what you're saying. Yeah,
we don't. She's
like, you're gonna marry somebody and you're gonna have a family and you're gonna be so happy.
Mm-hmm. And then you ask to be buried. Give me right now.
Oh, Heidi.
Oh, you asked to be buried in Riverdale next to your father. Oh, that's so,
don't cry because you're gonna make me cry.
Oh god.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. That was a sweet moment. I liked that.
Yeah, I did too. And again, they've just done such a wonderful job of honoring Luke Perry.
Yeah. And
creating this, like, hero of a character for him, even after his passing. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I think he would be very honored. If he's looking down and he's seeing how they ended things up. Yeah, I hope so too. But don't cry.
Oh, but it's emotional. Well, it's interesting too to talk about, like, legacy, right? They talk about it a little bit in this episode when Jughead and Betty are talking about themselves, you know, what they end up doing. And talking about their legacy. And I don't think anyone would have thought, like, there's so much that's a part of, oh my god, what's his name? I'm blanking.
I don't know what you're trying to say. I don't know. I can't help you.
Archie's dad. But what's the actor's name? I think of it.
Luke Perry?
I'm sorry.
I literally said it 10 seconds ago.
I couldn't hear you because it was a robot. You were a robot. And I couldn't hear you. I don't think anybody would have anticipated that Luke Perry's legacy would include Riverdale to the extent that it does, which just mainly happened because he was doing it while when he passed. He has so much more to his legacy as well. But I think I agree that this is a very good thing to have as your legacy going on. And I think it introduced a lot of people to him. A lot of young people who didn't know him before, like myself, who not so young, but, you know, a person who didn't really know him too much before. I just think that that's really beautiful. And it's funny, too, that this episode also just talked about legacy with Betty and her saying, you know, it's my family. It's Carla. It's her daughter Carla and her granddaughter Alice and what their little lives are going to bring going forward. I do think it's... What a nightmare to be like, I'm going to take my grandma on a trip to her hometown as her, like, dying request. And then she dies in your backseat traumatic. You're going to wait a minute, oh, Betty?
God.
Jesus.
Can you imagine the drive home?
Wait, what do you do? What do you do?
You would call an ambulance at that point.
Right?
You would. You would call like a non-emergency line and say, hey, my grandmother just passed. And then an ambulance would come out and collect her.
Rough.
Because also, this is getting a little, you know, morbid, but the body goes into rigor mortis.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I mean? There's certain preservation techniques that need to be done when somebody does pass that need to be done fairly quickly. So you would call an ambulance. You wouldn't be able to, like, drive home a couple of hours and take care of it then.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. What did you think of the last scene with all of them in the diner and stuff? I have another thought too, but with just that in general, that's like the sweet hereafter, which we've talked about before on Riverdale. But that's the sweet hereafter.
I liked it. I did. I feel like that was a time in their lives where they were truly happy and they were with each other.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, we obviously don't see it, but I don't know whether these characters ever felt that level of happiness again or in the same way.
Yeah. And it's like they felt some true happiness. And then they also felt like everything else, like because their time in Riverdale wasn't just the first 18 years of their lives, right? Because there's also the time before they went back in time. So it's actually like 28 years of their life, right? Because it's like plus 10 years, or actually plus another lifetime kind of thing. Like, so, yeah, and they felt all the different things. And they did it together. And even though, like, they all went on to have happy, contented lives, they had happy, contented lives with people who don't understand what they went through. And so when you get to come back to these people who just inherently understood you.
You don't have to explain yourself. You just are.
You just get to be. Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's sweet. I did think, too, it was it's another sad. The sad endings were Fangs, Sheriff Keller and Frank, and Julian. Sad endings for those three. For those four. Yeah,
that one caught me. That one caught me a little off guard too. That he only lived to 24 or something.
28. Yeah, 28. He died in Vietnam.
Yeah, that caught me. I was a bit like, oh, shit. Okay.
He lived longer than Jason.
Oh my fucking god. Oh my god, you are the worst.
I'm sorry.
You're so terrible.
I cope with emotional things with humor. I'm sorry. But yeah, and then it's funny too that the show did end with Jughead giving us a straight to camera.
Yeah, I didn't know if we needed that.
I didn't mind it because I think I was anticipating it last time. And I was like, oh yeah,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense from that point of view. I just didn't think we needed it. Like, I think Betty going into the diner, it could have just ended there.
Mm-hmm.
But then Jughead has been telling this story forever.
Yeah. Yeah. And did you notice, too, that the times where he was talking, especially at the end, the typewriter was going in the background?
Yes, I did hear that. Because it was so fucking loud.
It was kind of loud. It was kind of loud.
No, I appreciated the symbolism of that.
Those are really all my notes. What was your...
The mistake that I caught?
Yeah.
It happens when Betty goes into the diner.
Okay.
Archie's like, oh, Betty, we've been waiting for you. I got you your favorite milkshake. Strawberry.
Is it not strawberry?
Strawberry is not her favorite.
Is it chocolate?
Yep. Archie's favorite is strawberry.
Little shit. So,
if you watch... And I am somebody who I love a strawberry milkshake. Like, I love strawberry milkshakes. So, watching the seasons, every time they had a milkshake, I'd always look to see what Betty was having. Because I was like, I wonder if she's got the same favorite as mine. She always had chocolate, or she always had strawberry. So, at the end then, when he goes, I've got your favorite, strawberry. I was like, nope. Nope, that's not right.
It's so...
If it is right, why has she been drinking chocolate this whole time?
It's so funny, though, if you just think about it as, like, Archie never changed, could never remember basic shit. Like, even after all this time, that's...
She's finally made it. They're all back together, and he just fucks up her milkshake. That is typical Archie.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. God.
I will say one that too. I wish we could have seen I liked seeing old Betty. I wish we kind of had seen other people old too. At least the core four. But you know. Oh well.
Veronica would be sitting in her bed with a cigarette and an absinthe, being like, Philip Roth and I used to blah, 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 Glaberge egg, American excess. She'd
just be surrounded by Glaberge eggs.
The Five Seasons and all her other weird Riverdale-isms that make me want to punch her in the face.
Well, oh, God. That's Riverdale.
That is Riverdale.
That's a wrap.
Gosh, we need to rate this episode, and I know... A while ago, you and I talked about rating this episode based on milkshakes, because mm-hmm. that is what we used to do when we first started. And then we did different systems of ratings throughout the different seasons.
Yeah.
So I am going to go with a strawberry milkshake because it's my favorite.
I was going to say I'm going to go with a cookies and cream milkshake, like an Oreo milkshake, because it's my favorite.
Oh. Oh man. I wonder if cookies and cream was a thing in the 1950s. Like, I wonder if they were doing shakes based on cookies and cream, or
probably like probably not.
Okay, so it'd be perfect in Riverdale then.
It would be, yeah, exactly. They could have Veronica could have invented it.
Oh shit. Just like she did birth control.
And something else too. I can't remember what it was. Birth control and something else. It's just so funny. What was it?
It was Archie. Wasn't it Archie that invented something?
He might have too.
It only happened a couple of episodes ago, and I can't remember.
I know that Veronica definitely did invent birth control. But that's all I know.
She probably did that while she was working with Philip Roth.
Was it Peter Roth?
Peter Roth! Who the fuck is Philip Roth?
Same difference, honestly.
But oh, God.
I will say it's honestly shocking how good of a series finale we got out of the dumpster fire that was Riverdale. Love it or hate it.
Yeah.
That was a good finale. Like, the it show in general. It's a really good finale.
We were owed that.
Honestly, I really have no qualms with it at the end of the day. I could watch it again. I would be happy to, and also cry, but happy to cry. If I'm looking for a cry, I might come back to it, but I don't know. I guess, what are your takeaways from all of this? The many years that we've dedicated to Riverdale. Who knew? Who thought? Look at us.
I strangely want to go back and just watch season one.
Yeah.
I think, still, with all the seasons and all the storylines, season one was just on a level on its own.
It was.
It was a great time. It really was. It was totally batshit insane crazy.
Yeah.
At times. But I think they were smart by ending it here. I think in hindsight, they did some really ambitious things with the show mm-hmm. that did or didn't work for whatever reason. But it's not a show I'm going to show my future kids unless they're like, Mom, you had a podcast about this show? And I'll be like, yeah, watch an episode and then listen to my podcast. You know, it's not a show that's going to change lives, but it was an escape for 50 minutes to an hour. Once a week
mm-hmm.
that we so desperately needed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it brought you and I together.
Yeah.
Week after week, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, definitely.
So, yeah.
Oh, a good...
I'm getting all emotional.
Oh, no! owe a good many things to it, and I think it's something that the, you know, people have given shit to the cast and crew of this show, especially the cast, for a while now. This finale is something they can be really proud of, and I hope they are, because, you know, they've gone through a lot of shit, and I think it really worked, you know, as it is. And if nothing else, like you said, might not be a thing that a show that changes the world, a show that changes you as like a person, but this did, this journey that we got to have together changed me for the better. And
Heidi.
It's true. And has kept us close, you know, through all this time. And it is a very vital friendship that I am very lucky to have. So thank you.
Thank you, sweetheart. I really appreciate that.
Oh, man.
No, I'm getting all teary.
It's the last what Betty would do.
It is the last what Betty would do.
Unless you have anything else you want to say.
No, I'm just emotional.
I know.
It's so stupid. We're getting emotional over Riverdale.
No, but it's about more than that. It's about us.
Okay, so what would Betty do?
Oh, no. Our girl Betty would live a long, happy life. Oh, no.
Oh, my God, Heidi.
She would get to live a full, long, happy life and have a family that she's proud of and a legacy that she's proud of. She would get to build her career and her friendships and her life. She would leave Riverdale, but when she's at the end of the road, she would get a visit from an old friend in love, in Jughead. She would get to see all the people she cares about again and be young again and relive that moment again. And she would get to say all the things she never got to say, which many people don't get. And she would leave the world better than it had been before, like we know our Betty would do. And she would get to have a really, really wonderful, sweet hereafter.
That was perfect, Heidi. Ooh. That was perfect. I know, I'm getting so choked up, but that was beautiful.
Thank you.
That was beautiful. I definitely think that this world, or... I can't believe I'm crying over a show that's meant for like teenagers and young adults. I think the kind of person that Betty is, I can't even look at you. I think she would be insanely proud of the fact that she left the world a better place for being in it. I think that's a massive accomplishment. And I think so many of us want to do that, but in this world, in the world of Riverdale, she actually did.
Yes, and I think that's why we named our podcast Betty Squared, because we related to her in like those moments and whatnot, but we also look up to her and like,
but like so early as well, like that we were both like, we love this character, like there's more to her than this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And look, she gets to end it. And I think it's just so perfect. It's incredible.
Yeah, it was a real treat for us to have her be the one that gets to tell this story.
Yeah. I agree.
I don't even know how to sign this off, because I normally say, well, we'll catch you next time. But next time is gonna look different.
Yeah. And there'll be one.
There will be. We still have to discuss in what capacity, but we got some ideas. And I also still want to see if my friend will come on for a special episode of Betty Squared, because she was an AD, an assistant director on Riverdale during its last seasons, right up to the finale. So I'd love, love, love to hear her insight on it. So I guess we just say we'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon.
Okay, friends. Bye. Bye.